Okay, my name's misspelled. I'm Megan. I'm an alcoholic. I haven't shared in a while, so this is gonna be like a little weird and new. But I'm coming up on 4 years sober. My sobriety date is September 3rd, 2014. I've actually picked up on the wrong date, and my best friend had to remind me of like what my actual sobriety date is, because I just take this program one day at a time. I sponsor others. I have a sponsor. I go to meetings. I try to stay in the middle of the boat. I try to be of service. I do all the good things. Not saying I do it perfectly or as much as I should, but I try to have the right intentions and the right motivations these days. So what it was like, I feel very weird about this microphone, too. So I am born and raised in Tampa. From a great family full of alcoholics. My family's from a very small town in Michigan. My maiden name's Fate, whatever, anonymity, it's fine. But it's like Fate, like Food Mart, Fate Gas Station, Fate Mini Storage, Fate Liquor Store. It's just like Fate Town in Michigan. And my family, my great-great-grandfather was the first alcoholic that anyone can remember, and he had this like science wing at the local college named after him, and they found him passed out dead after trying to get sober a few times underneath his desk in his office, overdosing on cough syrup. And then, like, ever since then, it's just, like, kind of trickled down, and, it's just been, like, a very lonely disease until there was a solution. So I grew up in Tampa, and there's, like, this whole discussion and debate in AA about whether, like, you're born with it, and then there's, like, this thing called a threshold, and, like, what is it, like, is it a disease? And I'm one of the thorough believers who thinks that I was born an alcoholic. Like, I was born with, like, this hole in my soul that just, something's always just been missing. Like, I remember in preschool at, like, Seaborn, going around and interviewing everyone. I thought I felt different because I had blonde hair and no one else did. So I was like, okay, I need to have brown hair. So, like, I went around and asked all the little girls with brown hair, like, what it felt like to be them. And, like, that, like, which is, like, insane, but, like, to, like, a 3 or 4 year old, like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, that's why I feel different. Like, there's something different about me, and it's physical. And, like, this idea of, like, being physically different just kind of carried on through, like, I'm in recovery from an eating disorder also, and my drinking and my eating disorder started kind of around the same time. But, like, I'm a pretty outgoing person, but, like, I just have felt so off throughout my entire life. Like, I was a mute until about 6th, 7th grade. I was bullied a lot. I went to this small, like, Episcopalian private school, and there's, like, 20 other girls in the grade, and I've been, like, basically the same height since 7th grade. So, like, I was tall and really nerdy and just, like, really into books and, like, quiet, and, like, people would just pick on me and I wouldn't say anything because, like, something's wrong with me. Like, you're allowed to make fun of me. Like, I am different. So I begged my parents to let me change to a different school, and I went to, like, the local public school across the street, and I was like, this is, like, the start of my, like, relocation cure. And, like, I just think that if I go to this other school and make other friends, I will feel better about myself. And, like, I didn't, so, like, I thought it was because everyone had straight hair and I had curly hair. So, like, I once again, like, go around and interview all the people about what it felt like to have straight hair. Like, just trying to, like, figure out what's wrong with me. How long do I have to speak, by the way? Like, 30 minutes? Okay. Cool. So I also started playing soccer when I was a young age, and it kind of made that my whole life as well. It was, like, my outlet. And in middle school, I got really into it and really serious, and I had all these ideas that I was going to go play in college and go to, like, a D1 school. Like, I have a lot of, like, athletes in my family, and that's just kind of, like, the precedent. Like, they don't really care about the education. We just want to make sure you go D1 and it's some kind of sport. So, like, that was, like, I got really into that, and that was kind of, like, my addiction of choice for a while there. And then I started putting on all the, like, in the big book and, like, in all, a lot of meetings, like, you hear about, like, different masks of, like, trying to fit in, like, trying to find your crowd. And, like, I remember in 7th grade vividly, like, trying to make groups with, like, different types of people, trying to figure out where I fit in, having a different personality entirely in each separate group. I was also convinced that if I had a boyfriend, I would feel a lot better, and that, like, I just started obsessing about, like, how to make myself feel right, and always looking at external things, never looking at, like, fixing myself, because I feel like that's such a big task, and I don't know where to start, that, like, that's, I'm not even going to go there, that's, like, insurmountable. So So my freshman year of high school is kind of like when everything changed. And like, keeping like, so my whole family lives in Michigan. My parents are the only two who moved away, and they live in Tampa. And like, my household, my parents are still married, but like, it's chaotic. There's just like a lot of like isms going on. I have this little sister too, who around when I was a freshman in high school got diagnosed with Crohn's disease, got really sick, and just chaos broke loose in my household. But when I was a freshman, like the most important thing was I started drinking, and I didn't actually like up until like 2 months ago. I had no idea what my first drink was. I remember like Smirnoff Ices and like the back of like my first boyfriend's car and something about like Jello shots. I didn't know like you're supposed to actually mix the alcohol in the Jello, so you just put the alcohol on top of the Jello and then drink the alcohol and then eat the Jello. So it was like as a snack, you know. But I had this like one friend who's like one of my clients, and we're sitting in a coffee shop just like talking about like, what kind of house do you want to buy? And she talks to me about how like, remember like in like ninth grade the first time we ever drank, and I was like, no, but do tell more. And she told me that our first time ever drinking, like, it was all planned out, like, by me. It was at my house or my parents' house. And we had beer, orange juice, and Kahlua, and we mixed all of them together. But, like, that sounded like a really good idea. And I remember, and her name's Amber, and Amber's like, you just loved it. Like, you just fucking loved it. Like, Courtney got really sick. We put Courtney in the bathroom. You wanted to keep on drinking, but then your parents came home. And that's just, like, I guess the start of my alcoholism, because as long as I can remember, like, I've always been the one in my friend group in high school, basically, who ran this, like, illegal business out of the back of my Jeep in high school, where, like, if someone wanted to come get alcohol, like, I had it, like, tucked away in the spare tire of my car, like, everyone knew to come to me, and I just thought I was, like, an entrepreneur and, like, really smart, but I'm just, like, fueling my habit, like, that's what it is, and that's just, like, the kind of alcoholic I am, though. Like, I hide it. And I will give you some as long as I have some. But I will lie straight to your face and tell you I don't have anything if that means I don't get to have, like, what I think I need. My freshman year, I started drinking. And, like, one pivotal moment. So I was playing soccer, and I completely shattered my ankle, dislocated it. And so, like, up until this point, like, I thought I was going to go, like, I have, like, all these dreams and, like, aspirations. And I think I'm going to go, like, D1, and I'm, like, that serious about it. And, like, I'm on the track to do it. And then I, like, completely, like, screw up my leg. They're now, like, two different lengths. I missed, like, 3 months of school. I was out of school from October until the following January, and I'm basically on bed rest with my mom. Like, she's the only one who's, like, I have, like, any kind of contact with. And I just remember feeling so suicidal and so sad and just kind of, like, my expectations are no longer meeting reality. Like, how do I fix this? So during that time frame, I've got some, like, daddy issues, and, like, I just want approval from men in general. So, like, I lost a lot of weight. Like, my dad growing up always told me, like, if you drop, like, 10 pounds, you'd be so much faster in soccer, you'd be so much better, like, all these things. And, like, I dropped a lot of weight really quickly because I got so sick from, like, all the surgeries and medications they put me on. And he started being like, okay, good, just, like, stay there and then start playing again. And, you know, I obviously didn't. I was, like, emaciated. And so I started gaining the weight back, and I just freaked out. And I remember in third grade, my friend told me that she had her, like, diet plan in third grade was to eat an apple and then to purge anything else that she ate. And that was, like, always stuck in the back of my head. And I just remember that one time, and I just, like, purged, thinking, like, one time, and, like, it was a, this is the solution. Like, I vividly remember that moment. Anything to make me feel different, and it was, like, off to the races. And so I was off to the races. Like, I thought it would be, like, a once-in-a-while thing, and it was, like, a dozen times the next day, and it just continued that way for a decade. And the same with my drinking. I had, like, this special purse that had, like, a secret compartment where you could, like, hide alcohol. I could hide a whole bottle in there. I, like, smuggled it into concerts and just, like, literally anywhere I could go. Like, if I had an engagement, like, with some girls before, like, a Bible study before school, you know, I was, like, never into that. I just wanted to fit in. I would drink at, like, 6 a.m. before I went to high school. I just, like, always had it with me. If I had a project where I had to work with someone in class, I'd sneak out to my car, take some shots, and go back in so I could socialize properly is what I thought. So at 17, I started getting, like, really suicidal, and actually when I was 15, my parents caught me drinking for the first time, and they sat me down the next morning, and I came out, and there's, like, pamphlets of all these alcohol rehab centers on the table, and they were just like, we have seen how everyone else in our family drinks. You are an alcoholic. Like, you cannot drink again. And my solution was just to tell them to, like, fuck off. Like, I'm going to drink and do what I want to. And I just, like, went back to bed. So, like, the rest of high school, my parents are trying to get me to stop drinking. I'm not doing it. I'm maintaining great grades. So, like, I can so relate to, like, Molly's story. If I, on the outside, I look perfect, you know? Like, successful, like, super involved in school, great grades, like, good at soccer. Like, I check all the boxes, you know? I just feel like I'm dying on the inside. So 17, 18, I start getting suicidal, and I'm blaming it on my parents because my mom's so controlling. My dad's never home. They are so, like, they just need to get a divorce. I'm taking their inventory, and I'm trying to fix all these things around me and, like, fix this, like, relationship with this guy that I have, or, like, maybe it's this friend. And once again, like, never looking at how to change me because, like, I don't know how to do that. I don't have a solution still. So I also moved. I thought, like, going away to college was the best solution, and I went as far away as I could while still getting in-state tuition because I'm, like, super cheap, and that's almost the same. But I went to Florida State, and I remember thinking, okay, like, I'm no longer going to be bulimic, and I'm also, like, going to control my drinking. And, like, the first day there, everyone in my hall knows that, like, I have all the liquor. Come to me if you want to buy any. And, like, nothing changed, you know? Like, nothing changed unless you change is kind of what I've learned. So throughout college, I also, my freshman year, I started dating this guy. And God bless his soul. He's, like, the kindest human I've ever met. And he's kind of seen me. We've been best friends since we were 15. I ended up marrying him. But, like, he's seen me through, like, all of this changes, you know? And so we started dating my freshman year. And things were, like, kind of manageable and, like, kind of not. Like, I'm just known as, like, crazy. I'm just, like, I don't have any cool nicknames. I'm just, like, insane, you know? I black out every single time. I also fell down a flight of stairs, cracked my eye socket, broke my nose, got a concussion. I've, like, torn my meniscus, like, dancing on top of bars. I've done, like, a lot of physical harm to myself. But at this time, like, I'm also, like, mentally messed up. But, like, I think I need to solve my eating disorder before I tackle any of the drinking first. Because I think the reason I'm so miserable is because I'm hiding this huge secret from everyone. Nobody knows that I'm struggling about it. Nobody knows that, like, I'm, like, nobody knows 70% of what I do each day. So, like, how can you really get to know me? How can you be my friend? How can you relate to me? You don't know who I am. So I feel like I'm just living this, like, complete lie, and I'm just so lonely. And I didn't make it all 4 years of my sorority. I got kicked out after two because I was always in standards as well. But, like, I found, like, a new group of friends who did what I did, and it was fine. I graduated college. I got a job right out of the gates. I'm having panic attacks probably, like, once a month. My parents are very concerned. They want to send me to rehab. They want to send me to treatment. I'm just not ready. I don't think I need it. I'm just not desperate enough at this point. At that point, also, like, my boyfriend was like, you need help. Like, something's not right with you. As I'm moving from Tallahassee to Jacksonville for this new job, I go out one night for, like, one last time, and I still don't know what I hit to this day. Like, I ended up sideswiping something and, like, popped a tire and, like, almost totaled my car. My dad was in town to help me move from Tallahassee to Jacksonville, and so I call him at, like, 2 a.m., and he comes to, like, save me because I'm, like, pulled over next to the side of a railroad next to a warehouse. He pulls up at 2 a.m., and he sees me sitting in my front driver's seat, car on, with a handle to my face, because I know that it's going to be a real weird conversation, and I can't have it. I don't know how to function and do that. So he takes my keys, puts me in the car, and I just remember him saying, like, we are so sad for you, because you're an alcoholic, and you will die with this unless you get help. And I'm just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, and I go home, and Carrie said I sobbed from, like, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., but I don't remember any of it. And eventually I go to sleep, and I wake up the next morning, probably at, like, 10 or 11, and not knowing what's happening, kind of hazy, and Carrie's like, you need to go outside and take a look at your car. And I walk out, and it's just demolished. And I just remember laying, I felt like a piece of my soul cracked, because now here's indisputable evidence that, like, I'm also ruining the things around me. The people around me are seeing the true me, like, this charade's no longer working. But I just remember laying on the sidewalk just, like, sobbing. I have cried like that very few times in my life. But I moved, and, like, you would think that, like, that spiritual and mental and moral, like, demoralization would, like, in that moment would be enough at least to keep me sober. A week, a few days, a month. But, like, by 5 p.m., I'm already taking shots and drinking and, like, because I can't deal with the wreckage of my past and I can't deal with that sadness. And, like, I don't know what to do. And my whole alcoholism is plagued by, like, everything looks good on the outside, but, like, I am just dying in a shell of a human on the inside. So I moved to Jacksonville and get this new job, and I think that's going to solve it. And I get, like, let go within 3 months because I'm, like, drinking on the job, and I'm just really not good at it. So they let me go, and I just remember thinking, once again, like, my life's in tatters around me. And so my parents told me to move home. And so I move home. Okay, good. So I move home to Tampa, and I start working with my family, and, like, once I start showing up drunk to that job, and... like, the whole last year of my drinking, like, I don't know if you guys are seeing a pattern, but, like, I just keep drinking. The whole last year of my sobriety, I had moved in with a boyfriend, and it's, like, a 500-square-foot apartment with, like, a pug, two cats, and two people, and, like, there's no hiding my alcohol anymore unless I get really creative. So he's coming home, and I'm trying to drown myself in the bathtub. I'm trying to overdose on drugs. I am blacked out by noon when he comes home for lunch. It is no longer manageable. It wasn't really in the beginning, but, like, I still kept up the look, but it gets to the point where it's just no longer manageable, and I ended up in the ER, like, 5 times in 2 months, like, right before I went to treatment for the first time, because I thought I was having vertigo. I WebMD'd the symptoms. I'm just, like, withdrawing. And so I go to the ER, and the doctor's like, your organs are shutting down for some reason. Your liver enzymes are, like, increased. Like, you need to stop whatever you're doing. Because I'm not being honest with them and telling them I have a raging eating disorder. I'm only drinking liquor. My organs, like, don't like it, you know? I know I'm dying, and I remember having this, like, clear moment of, this is just how I'm going to die. This is just it. I'm just going to die an alcoholic. I was 23. Or I'm going to die of my eating disorder. Or, like, better yet, like, God, like, please just let these suicide attempts work, you know, because Carrie kept on coming home and spoiling them. But I see now that that's God working in my life, but I'm going to treatment once, only if my eating disorder doesn't work. I'm the kind of person where if I don't stop all of the things I'm manipulating, I don't stay sober, and I get out and ended up, like, hitting him, and, like, he left, and I went back to treatment again. I started going to AA meetings, because in the first treatment center, they introduced me to AA, and, like, all I wanted to do was think about how I have differences rather than similarities between us, and but it kind of, like, opened my ears, and I really thought everyone in AA was just, like, old people. I was also very scared. I remember telling Carrie one time, I was like, I'm from Tampa, like, I can't go to a meeting. What if I go to a meeting and someone, like, recognizes me? And, he looked at me and he's like, you know, like, if they're in AA meeting, like, they're an alcoholic too. And, like, that had literally never occurred to me because I'm so self-centered. Like, never entered my mind. So it's, like, just a struggle for, like, a year, just, like, trying to get sober, not really getting sober, doing the Megan program. I try to control my drinking by buying, like, the little alcohol, like, airplane bottles and hiding those around my house. But I buy, like, 30 of them, so I'm going to get shit-faced. And, like, the next day, I'm, like, in the liquor store at 9 a.m. buying, like, the biggest, cheapest handle I can. But eventually, like, I don't know how or why, but I ended up calling this treatment center in Tampa, and actually, I know why, because I had reached my deductible, and it was free, so I ended up going to an IOP program, and they told me that I really should go inpatient, but I was like, nah, and so I did 22 sessions out of 24, and I kept on relapsing my eating disorder, and they told me to go inpatient. I went inpatient for 3 months, but during IOP, I got sober. I got sober, and I stayed sober. I went to a speaker meeting, Saturday Night Fever, and this woman stood up and talked about how she had an eating disorder and how she likes to read, and she has two cats. And I was like, that sounds as much as in common as I'm going to have with anyone here, so, like, will you be my sponsor? And she sponsored me. We met every Sunday at a Starbucks, and we started doing the step work and started talking about how God can change my life if I just let this program work, and I, like, let go of my inhibitions and just stop fighting it. Because what I'm doing in the moment's not working, and my solution hasn't worked for a very long time, if ever. So I might as well try something different, you know, and just try it for 6 months. Like, what's going to happen? Like, what's the worst that could happen? If it doesn't work, you're going to end up where you are now, but, you know. So I got sober and I got abstinent, and since then, God, my life is different. You know, I was working with a sponsee yesterday, and she said this phrase of, like, how she felt like her soul had been robbed when she uses and when she drinks. And I just can so relate to that feeling of just being, like, a shell of a person and just giving up and having nothing left to give anyone or myself. Like, I'm just so tired, I can't even try to kill myself again. Like, I'm just so done. I can't even move. I can't function. And that's where my alcoholism brings me. So since I've gotten sober, I was taught early on, too, to try to be of service to others, that alcoholism is a very selfish disease, which is very true. So pretty early on, I was encouraged to go speak at detoxes, to call another alcoholic, not just, like, talk about how I'm doing that day, but to ask them how they're doing, which also had never, ever occurred to me. I was taught to do the steps in order, and I remember being in treatment and so annoyed that my sponsor wouldn't start working the steps with me until I got out. And, like, I'm very competitive, and all these people were, like, finishing their steps before me, and I'm just, like, super fucking annoyed that, like, I'm still on step one, and I'm, like, 6 months sober. And I also, like, even have all these expectations about how my sobriety is going to go, even though, like, I try to continually give the power over to something higher and bigger than me. I finished all the steps, like, a year and a half sober. You know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but, you know, it worked. And during that time frame, like, I was really scared of what my friends were going to think of me, because a lot of them are still in Tampa. I was scared of the stigma of being an alcoholic. I was scared that I wasn't going to stay sober, and I was going to look like an asshole if I had to, like, pick up another white chip. And I learned, like, all about my character defects, which is, like, a really big ego. I've gotten married in AA, which is really cool. I got, you know, like, we did all the things. Like, in the late stages of my alcoholism, like, I don't think that I deserve anything, and I don't think I'm ever going to get anything in life, and I'm just going to die an alcoholic, but, like, I've traveled the world and gone to AA meetings. So, like, for our honeymoon, we went to Australia, and, like, I went to a few AA meetings there. I got to hear the word of, like, my higher power across the globe, and I have seen a lot of sad things. You know, I've been able to be there for friends and show up for my family members when sad things happen. I work with my mom now, and I'm able to be a respectable partner in business and not super shady and be honest about the money and not steal and show up when I'm supposed to. And she now trusts me with, like, her clients and her business, and, like, the whole thing is, like, of, like, drawing it together, and I think that's really cool. Before, where it was not, it was just, like, how to keep Megan sober, like, how to have income to keep her sober. Let me back up. I've always had this dream of being, like, a boss-ass bitch and, like, being this, like, really cool businesswoman, and, like, thought I had this opportunity to, like, open up my own firm and, like, do all this stuff, and I have these expectations of how it's going to work out. And, like, a few months in, I started realizing that these two guys were super emotionally disruptive and abusive, and I started realizing that, and says some things kind of hit home. I would come to AA and just cry. AA is there for me when things are good, and AA is especially there for me when things are really bad. And, like, through that, like, I was so scared to go back to just doing sales, and, like, just that fear of, like, am I going to be able to be, like, a productive citizen in life? Like, am I going to be able to pay my own bills and be, like, a normal human being? And I talked to a woman about it for months incessantly, and eventually, like, I just realized that, like, God is everything or God is nothing. Like, I either need to take these signs that people are telling me to quit and, like, take that leap of faith, or, like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stay exactly where I'm at and stay being miserable, you know. I have a solution now. I know how to change it. So I did, and I took this leap of faith, and I've been, this past year of sobriety, it's, like, been the highest of highs and, like, the lowest of the fucking lows. So when I am drinking, Ken and I talked about getting married, and he's like, I honestly don't think that you're going to make it to maritable age. And he also talked about how he didn't trust me to, like, bear our children, because I have, like, this raging eating disorder, and, like, I just, I couldn't sustain myself, so, like, how am I going to sustain another life? I'm probably going to cry through this. So we decided to try to have kids. And it worked really quickly. I guess it's what's supposed to happen. I was surprised, but I have all these expectations. I've already started name boards, like planning the nursery, doing all this stuff, telling everyone we announced on Facebook. We see the baby's heartbeat, like, a few times, like, 5 times. Not that I was counting or anything, but, like, we have all the ultrasound on our fridge, and, last week we went in, to the ultrasound, and, like, they just couldn't find a heartbeat, and, like, just had, like, a very late first trimester miscarriage, and, like, it was just, like, you know, I talked earlier about having, like, a moment, and, like, there are a few times in life where I've cried and, made that sound, and that was one of them, too. But rather than, like, if I'm drinking, my first reaction is on the way home to stop by the liquor store, and I deserve to drink, like, I want to drink for the remainder of time. But my first reaction is, as I'm sobbing in the chair, is to ask my husband to hand my phone to me, because I need to text my family, I need to text my best friend in the program, and I need to text my sponsor before I walk out of here and tell him what's going on. And that's just, like, such a psychic change, you know? And, I see a lot of miracles in the fact that we had a miscarriage. My sponsor sent a woman to me immediately who had the same experience, strength, and hope. And rather than just focusing on, like, how fucking shitty it is, we have chosen to focus on how there's so much hope and how much support there is. The day, like, we found out, like, at my home group meeting was that night, and rather than sitting at home, which is, like, what I really wanted to do, like, woman in AA showed up to my door with, like, flowers and ice cream and, like, literally drove me to the meeting to make sure I would go, and I just sat there and I cried, you know? Like, I've cried in every AA meeting. I've talked about it so far, which has been a lot, but, like, AA has taught me how to get through things and past things, in, like, a reasonable manner, without dying. Like, I thought my soul was going to shatter, and, like, I'm okay. There's been a lot of complications since then, like, I've been in and out of the ER, and, like, but I have, like, this faith that, like, no matter what happens, it's going to be okay, and that's just because I have this connection with the higher power now. And, like, I have women in AA who have been through this experience, and it's been okay for them, too. AA has given me more than I think I could ever give back. I have, like, some family members, and, like, I still struggle with the disease, and it's so heartbreaking to watch, because, like, there's such a solution, and it's so simple as long as you, like, commit to it, you know? And, like, I'm just so grateful that, like, something clicked in me, and I got desperate enough to try to get sober, because this is a family disease, and it touches everyone that comes in contact with it, and, like, I didn't realize how much I was affecting other people's lives until I got sober and saw how much better things were for everyone else around me. I don't know, I was really nervous to speak, because I didn't want to talk about the miscarriage, but, like, I'm glad I did, because this is how I get through it, this is what I'm told, at least. AA is, like, Carrie asked me, like, a few months ago, he's, like, not in the rooms, he's, like, so I'm going to do this for, like, forever. Like, do you go to AA meetings forever? Do you go, like, for, like, 5 years and you stop? Or, like, what do you do? My plan at the moment is to try to keep on going for as long as I live, because, like, this works and I'm happy. I'm happier today than I ever was. And, like, today in particular than I ever was drinking, you know? And, it's just, like, a cool thing. And, like, when I called into my mom about the miscarriage, she was sobbing, but she was like, I have faith that you're going to be okay. Like, I'm not worried about you. And that's, like, such a big thing. Because, oh, my God, she's been worried about me for so long. You know, like, there's just a lot of God is around if you choose to look for it, him, them, her. AA has just taught me how to open up my mind and my perception so that I can let God in and see the miracles that happen every day around me. And it really just is as simple as that. I'm, like, sweating profusely, so I'm going to stop and get off this stage. So, thanks.